ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்திஹி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நம. ஹரிஹி ஓம். We will be starting a series of webinars on the second chapter of Taittiriya Upanishad known as Brahmanandavalli. Before I go into the text, I would like to offer my Sashtanga Namaskarams at the lotus feet of the Jagadguru, Sri Sri Bharati Tirtha Mahaswamiji of Sri Sharada Peetam Sringeri, and to many Acharyas, Sri Paramacharya of Kanchi Kamakoti Peetam, Swami Chinmayananda, Swami Dayananda Saraswati, and Swami Paramarthananda for their discourses and teachings, through which I could learn a few things that I can share with you from today onwards. The second chapter of Taittiriya Upanishad, we can consider this as the main chapter and the most important chapter of the Upanishad, maybe one of the best chapters of all Upanishads. It is a complete Upanishad. All aspects of Vedanta are discussed here, and the meaning also is very deep compared to other Upanishads. And Adi Shankaracharya's Bhashya also is much more elaborate for this. And here the topic is Brahma Vidya or Paravidya itself, whereas in Sikshavalli, the first chapter, the topic was Aparavidya. And Aparavidya can be used for two purposes. One, if it is done with worldly desires, it can fulfill all of them. For example, there are homas for getting clothes, food, cows. Avahanti Homa Vasagum Simamagavascham Annapanecha Sarvada. So Aparavidya fulfills our Dharma, Artha, Kama desires if done with Sakama. Whereas here the intention is different. We being Mumukshus, since we have Vairagyam for Dharma, Artha and Kama, we are supposed to practice the Sikshavalli Nishkamataya without desire for wealth and pleasures. Then for what purpose? The Sankalpa is Jnana Vairagya Siddhyartham. Whether we do japa or visit temples or do namaskarams to Mahatmas, whatever we do, all for Jnana Vairagya Siddhyartham. Even in dream, we cannot ask for anything else as a mumukshu. Even in the worst trying situation, the same thing. Otherwise, we will not be mumukshus, we will be only bhukshus. So it is a very, very difficult thing to practice. So the entire Sikshavalli is teaching Aparavidya not for Dharma Artha Kama Siddhyartham, but for Chitta Shuddhi, Chitta Naishchalyam, Chitta Ekagrata and all that. Or using the language of Tattva Bodha, Adhikaritva Siddhyartham, to become eligible for Brahma Vidya, Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti Siddhyartham. So Sikshavalli, so Aparavidya. Since this is placed after Sikshavalli, this chapter, the student is supposed to be already Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampanna Adhikari. And so this chapter is Brahmanandavalli or Anandavalli or Brahmavalli itself. The reason for the name again is Brahmavalli because it begins with the word Brahma. Brahma Vida Apnoti Param. Otherwise, it is called Anandavalli because in this chapter, the Ananda topic is very beautifully discussed, known as Ananda Mimamsa. No other Upanishad discusses this so elaborately. Even the Jiva Brahma Aikyam is pointed out through Ananda Mimamsa. Normally, we talk about Aikyam through Chaitanya. We will say, behind Stula, Sukshma, Karana, Shariram, there is Shuddha Chaitanya. Behind Ishwaras, Stula, Sukshma, Karana, Shariram, also there is Shuddha Chaitanya. So, Jiva is Shuddha Chaitanya, Ishwara is Shuddha Chaitanya. Therefore, both are identical. That is how normally we go and approach. But here, the peculiarity is, instead of Chaitanyam, it is said behind the Stula, Sukshma, Karana, Shariras of Jiva and of Ishwara, there is Shuddha Ananda. Instead of being Shuddha Chaitanyam, we say Shuddha Ananda. And the Ananda is one and the same. Actually, we are going to see later in this chapter. Sayascha Yam Purushe, Yascha Savadithye, Sayekaha. So Aikyam is pointed out through Ananda, and for this reason, this chapter is called Anandavalli. Some people made actually a compromise, whether it is Brahmavalli or Anandavalli, so they call this Brahmanandavalli. So since this chapter is part of Taittiriya Upanishad, it is introducing a completely different subject matter. There is a big shift from Aparavidya to Paravidya. A separate Shanti Pata is chanted for this purpose also, for this chapter, which is also very unique. In other Upanishads, we have only one Shanti Pata in the beginning. And that is the Shanti Pata for all chapters. For example, Mundaka Upanishad, if we take, only one Shanti Pata. Here in Taittiriya Upanishad, the first chapter, Sikshavalli, has one Shanti Pata, Shanno Mitrasyam Varunaha, Shanno Bhavatvaryama. And the second chapter has got a different Shanti Pata, Sahana Bhavatu. The difference is because in the first chapter, we had Aparavidya as the topic, and here we are having Paravidya as the topic. And therefore, an extra or a different Shanti Pata is prescribed here. The meaning of this Shanti Pata, we will give only a gist here now. Sahana bhavato, saha nau avato, saha nau bhunakto. Let the Lord protect me while listening, and after listening, to enjoy the fruit of this study. And how the Lord should protect me? While listening, by giving me the right understanding. Yatartha prakashanena, saha viryam karavavahai. Let us exert together this study with vigor to find the true meaning of the scriptures, the student and teacher together. And after listening, let the Lord protect me by retaining the wisdom. Tasya pala prakashanena avatu, so that I will be able to remain in this knowledge for the rest of my life. And tejasvinau aditam astu, whatever has been learned by us should be ever fresh in my mind, should be ever green in my mind. And ma vidvishavahai, under any conditions, the relationship between me and my teacher should not be strained. Let me and the teacher have a relationship of love all the time. Let my mind not question the motive or innocence or compassion of the teacher. Sometimes the teaching may look questionable for our mind because of our own ragadveshas. I may doubt the veracity of the teacher itself. Does the teacher has any ulterior motive? Does he want to enjoy the status of gurudom, like kingdom, or name and fame? Let me not have any such doubts at all. Therefore, the moment that doubt comes, the Shraddha will come down. The moment Shraddha comes down, Shravanam will be affected, and then knowledge will not come. Therefore, the ideal relationship also was asked for this in this first important Shanti Pada. Now we will enter the text after briefly mentioning this the bhavartham of this Shanti Mantra. Let us enter into the main text. Brahma vida apnoti param tadesha abhyukta satyam jnanam anantam brahma yo veda nihitam guhayam parame vyoman so oshnute sarvan kama ansaha brahmana vipaschiteti. Now the very first line gives the essence of the entire Upanishad. Brahmavit apnoti param, the essence of the whole Brahmavidya. In fact, the rest of the Upanishad is only like a commentary upon the elaboration on this statement only. And here, three things are pointed out. The subject matter, it deals with Brahman. This is different from the one of the previous Valli, Sikshavalli, where all things other than Brahman were talked about. Brahma, derived from brh, to become big or to be big. And Brahma means the biggest, infinite. So infinite will have what form, color or guna? It will have none. So the subject matter is nirguna Brahma, whereas in Sikshavalli it was sagunam Brahma, sagunam parichinna. And how many infinites are possible? Only one. And the infinite can be many. the infinite can be only one, the finite can be many. So Shikshavalli talked about very many finite things, whereas here there is only one topic, that is Brahman Ekam. Therefore the subject matter is the non-dual, attributeless Brahman. And the sadhana prescribed, the Upanishad says that the knower of Brahman attains the infinite result. So the sadhana prescribed is knowledge, Vedanam. There is nothing to be done or practiced. So karma, upasana, japa, etc. are things to be done, practiced more the merrier, more the japa and all those things earlier. So in karma, doing is most important. In japa, abhyasa, practice, they are all very important. Whereas here, nothing to do or to practice. In Vedanta, but something to understand, Vedanam, understanding. Once you have understood, that's all. There is nothing else to do. So in the whole Brahmanandavalli, one is not expected to do anything, but to keep on studying till one knows. So the sadhana itself is the knowledge. The benefit, that's all clearly said here. Param apnoti, so para praptihi is the palam. The attainment of the infinite or moksha prapti, that is the prayojanam of the study. Incidentally, we should note that the Upanishad used the word attainment of the infinite. The word must be again carefully understood, because if it is infinite, it's not a matter that can be attained. If it is away from me, then I can attain or acquire it. In case of infinite, since it can never be away, why? If it is away, it will be finite only. To attain infinite, we need not go to Kailasa or Vaikuntha or any of those places. If we like Kailasa, we can go and come, no problem. But to attain infinite, we need not go to Kailasa. So no question of attaining infinite or becoming infinite, because whatever becomes has got a beginning and an end also. So that will be also finite. So no question of attaining infinite or reaching infinite or becoming infinite. Then what do we really mean by paraprapti? It is the question of owning up that I am not away from infinite. It is removal of bheda buddhihi, the thinking that I should attain infinite. The very thought of becoming or acquiring should go. The moment that thought is gone, we have acquired it. That's what the palam itself, praptihi, should be put within quotes actually. So as though getting, for example, people give the example of key in the pocket, the revelation, as though you got it. This is called paraprapti. So the subject matter is Brahman, the sadhana is knowledge, and the palam is paraprapti or moksha. And now on, each term must be elaborately discussed. So three questions come, and what are those three questions? Kim tat Brahma, what is that Brahman, by knowing which one will get paraprapti. So kim tad Brahma, what is Brahman? And the second question is katam tasya vedanam, how to know that Brahman? And the third question is kim tad paraprapti phalam, what do you mean by attainment of infinite? So these three questions arise from the very first statement, Brahma vidu apnoti param. The Upanishad answers these three questions in the later portion. Tadesha abhyukta. Now we come to the second line. Tadesha abhyukta. Here, the Upanishad itself is quoting from another portion of the Vedas. This is the general practice. In Vedas, we divide it into several portions. The beginning portion called the Mantra Bhaga, and the later portion called the Brahmana Bhaga. Then later Aranyaka comes, then Upanishads come. All these, they are all called Brahmanas only. So either we can classify as two parts, mantras and Brahmana broadly, or into four, mantra, Brahmana, Aranyaka and Upanishads. It is considered that the Brahmana Bhaga is elaboration of the Mantra Bhaga only. So naturally, when the Brahmana portion elaborates the Mantra portion, the Brahmana portion will quote the mantra portion in many times. Because commentaries will always quote the original. So when such quotes come, the expression is this, Tadesha Abhyukta. Tadesha Abhyukta. Tadesha Abhyukta. So the interesting thing is, often the original Bhaga is not at all available. If it is quoting the mantra Bhaga, one should be able to go to the mantra Bhaga to find the mantra. Many portions of the Vedas are very much lost. So then what is available now? So we know this because quotations are available, but not the originals. Even after Shankaracharya's time, some are lost perhaps. So here the Brahmanopanishad is quoting a mantra. The mantra is not available, but only the quotation is available. Tadesha Abhyukta. Tade in this meaning, Asmin Arthe, Yesha Rik. Yesha means the following Rig mantra, Abhyukta, is to be quoted. So for the clarification of the first sentence, the following Rig mantra is quoted. Whereas Taittiriya Upanishad belongs to Yajurveda and it is quoting a Rig mantra. So a Rigveda mantra. So the following portion should be again within quotes. That is Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma, Yoveda Nikitam Guhayam Parame Yomanne, all that Brahmana Vipastita, Iti. So the term Iti denotes the end of quotation. So these four lines are Rig mantra quotation here, which we are with the Upanishad is using. And in this line, each line answers one question of the three questions that we raised earlier. So the first question was what? Kim Tat Brahma. What is that Brahman? The answer is given here in the first line of the quote, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. That is the definition of Brahman, popularly known as Brahma Lakshana. Very, very important definition. And the second question is, Katham Tad Vedanam. How to know that Brahman? And the answer given in the second line, Yo Veda Nihitam Guhayam Parame Vyomanda. And we will see the meaning later actually. And what is the third question? What is meant by Paraprapti or Moksha Prapti? And the answer is given in the next two sentences, Sho Oshnute Sarvan Kama Ansaha Brahmana Vipaschita. Up to that is the answer for the third question. So these four sentences are known as Vritti Vakyam, small commentary on the Sankshepa Vakyam, Brahmavit Apnoti Param. Now we will see each of the answers. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. This is Brahma Lakshanam. Here the Upanishad directly defines Brahman, and so we call it as the Swarupa Lakshanam of Brahman. Sometimes the Upanishad will indirectly point out through Jagat or something else. For example, the Upanishad will say, Brahman is that from which the world was born, by which the world is sustained, and into which the world will go back. So here the definition is not direct, but giving through the world. Such a definition is indirect definition and it is called Tatastha Lakshanam. Here Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma is Swarupa Lakshanam of Brahman. And what is the meaning of this definition? When we try to understand the meaning of a word or a sentence, first we will try to understand the direct meaning or the primary meaning of the word. This is called Vachyartha. Sometimes we will find, if we take the Vachyartha, the direct meaning, the sentence will not make any sense at all. For example, this is an example they give. There is a village on Ganga. Ganga means river. The sentence cannot be correct if we take the Vachyartha of the word Ganga as river. So we take an implied meaning of Ganga, meaning Ganga Tira, on the banks of the river Ganga. And this is an implied meaning. So Vachyartha does not fit it. We can take the Lakshyartha, the implied meaning of a word. For example, when they are distributing coffee or something, one person asked, let me also have a cup. He does not mean an empty cup, but a cup of coffee. That is the implied meaning. That means every word can have a primary meaning and a secondary meaning. There can be more meanings also. So first take the Vachyartham or the Mukhyartham of every word. If not understandable, then revert to the Lakshyartham of the word. And we should never take the Lakshyartham first. The method of understanding the meaning
through Vachyartha is called Abhidha Vrittihi. And that through Lakshyartha is called Lakshana Vrittihi. It's a just an incidental point, just I wanted to mention. There are other vrittis also, but it is enough if these two are known for the present. Previously, it was said that the sentence is Brahma Lakshana, and this is not to be confused with the Lakshana Vritti. Lakshanam is just a definition. So this definition can be either through Abhidha Vritti or Lakshana Vritti. Abhidha Vritti, Rupa Lakshanam, or Lakshana Vritti, Rupa Lakshanam, any one of them. So definition through direct meaning or indirect meaning. Here, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam Brahma is Lakshanam. Then the question is, whether this definition is through Abhidha Vritti or Lakshana Vritti will be the question. The method used is Lakshana Vritti only, method of implication through implied meaning. The definition of Brahman is given here. With this background, let us now go to each word in the definition. Satyam. If you take the Vachyartha first, Satyam means real. What do we mean by reality in common parlance? As the world uses the word, if we analyze the world, if there is a mirror giving my own reflection, we say that the reflection is unreal, whereas I am real. And suppose a snake or the rope, the world will say that the snake is unreal and the rope is real. And the shadow is unreal and the person is real. Similarly, a dream is unreal and the waker is real. So the Vachyartham of the world real is any object or vishayaha, that is vyavahara vishayaha in the world, like the table, the house, the pen, etc., etc. This is what is reality as we know without the knowledge of Vedanta. But if we take this meaning, Vachyartha, all these objects are real. And from that angle, a table also should be called Brahman. Because we said, whatever is Satyam is Brahman. And to clarify this alone, the Upanishad uses another word later. It says, Anantam Brahman. Brahman is real thing and which is limitless. So if we take the example of table, the Satyam part of it may fit, but not the Anantam part, limitless. Time-wise also, the table has limitation. It has got a date of origin, and one day the table will go away also. So time-wise and space-wise also, there are limitations. So kalataha and deshataha api. So it cannot be Anantam Satyam and it cannot be taken as Brahman. So Satyam cannot be any object in the world because they are not Anantam. But Shantam. So Shantam, they are all Shantam means they have a limitation, a time. So even the sun is not Anantam. One day it may go away also, limited in space. Since Vachyartham does not fit in, we have to go to Lakshyartham. So Lakshana Vritti. And when we take Lakshyartham, we have to follow a condition. If we take the earlier example, we found Ganga cannot be river, but the bank of the river, since a village cannot be on the river. So we take the meaning which is closely associated with the Vachyartha, namely Ganga, the river. Similarly, give me a cup also, cup of coffee. Also, cup means here, the meaning should be cup of coffee and not cup of anything else. It cannot be a plate. So for Lakshana, there is a condition which is it should be Sakya Sambandhe Lakshana or Vachya Sambandhe Lakshana. That should be closely connected with the Vachyartha. So if you analyze, we will find that every object in the world have two aspects, two amshas. What are they? For example, if we take a table, we have a Nama Rupa Amsha, the name and form of table, and the other one which we generally forget, which is table is. That is refers to the Sat Amsa or the existence principle of the table. Whatever is existing and not a non-existent table. Similarly, a chair or any other object. Thus, any object in creation has got the Nama Rupa Amsha and two the existence Amsha. Of this, when we take the Nama Rupa Amsha, it has got limitation. And what is that? Nama Rupa is limited space-wise, దేశదహ పరిచ్ఛిన్నం అండ్ ఆల్సో లిమిటెడ్ టైమ్ వైజ్ కాలతః ఆల్సో పరిచ్ఛిన్నం ఎనీథింగ్ క్యాన్ డెస్ట్రాయ్ ద టేబుల్ వెర్ యాజ్ ది ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ అంశ డస్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ ఎనీ లిమిటేషన్ హౌ డు వి నో దాట్ సపోజ్ వి కట్ ద టేబుల్ టు ప్లాంక్స్ ఆఫ్ వుడ్ వాట్ విల్ హ్యాపన్ వి సే టేబుల్ ఇస్ నాన్ ఎగ్జిస్టెంట్ బట్ ద ప్లాంక్ ఇస్ ఎగ్జిస్టెంట్ ద టేబుల్ నామరూప ఇస్ డెస్ట్రాయిడ్ బట్ వాస్ ద ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ ఇన్ ద టేబుల్ నామరూప డెస్ట్రాయిడ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ డెస్ట్రాయిడ్ బికాస్ దాట్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ అలోన్ ఈస్ నౌ అవైలబుల్ యాజ్ ప్లాంక్ ఓన్లీ ద నామరూప అంశ గాట్ డెస్ట్రాయిడ్ బట్ ది ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ అంశ డిడ్ నాట్ గెట్ డెస్ట్రాయిడ్ ఇట్ గాట్ ట్రాన్స్ఫర్డ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద టేబుల్ టు ద ప్లాంక్ ఎర్లియర్ టేబుల్ ఈస్ అండ్ నౌ ప్లాంక్ ఈస్ ద ఇస్నెస్ కంటిన్యూస్ ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ యు మేక్ ద ప్లాంక్ ఈస్ రిడ్యూస్ టు లెట్ అస్ సే సాడస్ట్ ది సాడస్ట్ ఈస్ నౌ అండ్ దట్ ఈస్ బర్న్ డౌన్ టు యాషెస్ then ash is and that is mingled with earth earth is so the nama rupa can get converted it can be destroyed new nama rupa might come that also is destroyed but existence continues so nama rupa is parichinnam but not existence therefore the existence aspect existence amsha does not have kala paricheda what about desha paricheda space limitation That also is not there because, for example, if we say that the existence is only along with the table, table alone is, if we say, then what happens? If existence is not associated with all other objects, they all become non-existent. But we find that existence is in table nama rupa, chair nama rupa, man, woman, sun, stars, everything. So existence is not limited by space also. Now one might think that there is existence in the table and also in the chair. Then what should be in between them? Only there is empty space. There also we say space is. Even when we say nothing, nothing is. So not only existence principle pervades all objects, it is between objects also as space. But only thing is, it is not associated with any nama rupa. Therefore, our eyes only have limitation. They can recognize existence only when it is associated with a nama rupa. That is our limitation. Like what? For example, the light which pervades everything, even though we see light only when it is associated with the table or chair, etc. In short, sat, the existence which is present in every object, does not have a space or time-wise limitation. So we call it anantam. Antam means limitation, anantam means limitless. So any object has got the nama rupa amsha and the sat amsha, the existence principle. The word satyam can refer to any one of these two amshas. Normally, we take only the nama rupa amsha, which is vachyartha. The lakshyartha is the sat amsha of every object. So when we take vachyartham only, that satyam will be limited by space and time. In fact, we call it vyavaharika satyam, practical reality. Whereas when we take the lakshyartham, the satamsha is limitless anantam, is amanantam. Therefore, what is Brahman now? And Brahman is said to be anantam satyam. So we can now take any object and without taking the namarupa part of it, let us take the amsha or existence part of it, the satta part of it. That is Brahman. So Brahman is the existence part of any vyavaharika satya vastu. So the isness of any object is Brahman. So what is the conclusion? The conclusion is satyam is the existence which pervades all namarupas. So sarva namarupa vyapakam satyeva satyam. So, and this sat does not have beginning or end, both time-wise and space-wise. And so, this sat is anantam. We cannot conceive of a time when sat was not there at all. So, this is the meaning of the word satyam, and we take the lakshyartha and not the vachyartha. Now, let us go to the next word. Brahman is jnanam. Here also, we have to go to in the both vachyartha and the lakshyartha. and find out how Vachyartha does not fit. And we'll go to Lakshyartha to understand that. And what is Vachyartha? For example, if we say, I have jnanam, knowledge. The question will be, what knowledge do I have? Is it knowledge in chemistry, knowledge in physics, or driving, or what is it? Therefore, the normal meaning of the word jnanam is always associated with one nama rupa, one object or the other. And the object is indicated by a thought in the mind. So we can say, any knowledge is associated with one thought or the other. Suppose there are no objects in front of us and there are no thoughts in the mind. What do we say? We say, we have no knowledge. Mind is blank. So when there are no thoughts and no objects, we say there is no jnanam. And when there are thoughts and objects, we say, I have jnanam. Therefore, we can say that the vachyartham of jnanam is vritti jnanam. Vritti means thought. A knowledge associated with one thought or the other. Okay, can we take this jnanam as Brahman? Here also the same problem comes. The Upanishad uses the word anantam. Suppose we take any objective knowledge, say a ghata jnanam, the knowledge of a pot. Can we say it is anantam? It cannot be anantam because time-wise it cannot be, because the ghatam, the pot, is born sometime. And not space-wise also, objective knowledge appears and disappears. It cannot be anantam. Because of the simple reason that vrittis always appear and disappear. Thoughts always appear and disappear. So we have to go to Lakshyartha only, which should be connected with the Vachyartha. The Vachyartha is vritti jnanam, which has two amshas again. The vritti, the thought itself, and two, the awareness part of the knowledge. Of these, the thought part, the vritti amsha, is the namarupa part, which is limited. For example, the ghata vritti is as big as the ghatam only, and it cannot be anantam. Whereas the awareness part of it, the chaitanyam part of it, does not have beginning or end. Ghata vritti comes, awareness is. Ghata vritti goes, awareness still is. Thought comes and go, the awareness is constantly present. Even if it is a blank mind, the blankness itself is known because of awareness only. So the awareness amsha is anantam. That is called the chit amsa. So chit amsha of every knowledge is anantam. The sad amsha of every knowledge is anantam. And jnanam means the chit amsha alone. So satyam jnanam is sat chit. For this only we went around so much in discussing and understanding what it really means. And so we will see more of the statement and the questions in the next webinar. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Now let us open for discussions.